This episode of Says Who is brought to you by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/sayswho. Yeah, that's right. Our Patreon, where pretty much every Sunday you get this all over again. You get me and Maureen doing a thing that's like a half an hour long and even looser, if you can imagine that, and named the Town Watch. And you get that if you give it the $5 or $10 a month level. That $10 a month level also gets you a sticker in the mail because you become a member. You get that every month that you give at that $10 a month level because you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. That's right. It's easy. What an easy club to be in. You don't got to reply. You don't got to get hazed. Give $10. You get a sticker in the mail and it makes you smile when you open up that envelope. Anyway, all of that is available to you at patreon.com/sayswho.
Hey.
Hey.
Guess what?
What?
I write books.
Ooh.
And I've written a new one that's going to come out in August called Death at Morning House. You can pre-order it now, but there'll be some kind of pre-order campaign coming up. And also, I know there's going to be a pre-order campaign that I probably shouldn't say anything about yet, but there'll be something with Barnes & Noble where you could enter to win a prize or something. So there's all kinds of stuff coming up, and I'll let you know how to pre-order it. And or you could just pre-order it now, like however you want, like in any way that you want, if you just want to.
It's true. If you just want to, and if you just want to go to our little bookshop, I just added Death at Morning House onto the little list that shows up right away. It doesn't have a cover yet.
At least in
our little bookshop.
Oh, it should.
Bookshop. You know how these things work, Maureen.
Nothing's easy. It should have been populated by now.
The little bookshop we use, they tend to be a little slow on the uptick.
Amazon, I think, also doesn't have the cover up.
Oh,
so
well, that's handy. Sure, they can AI one up pretty quick, though, if they need
to. It has a cover. It has a really good cover.
It does have a nice cover. I've seen it. Anyway, if you want to go to our bookshop and click on a big blue rectangle, you can go to kickbezosintheballs.org, and that big blue rectangle is there ready for you to click on. That is indeed the case. And since you're clicking on things on the internet, you could also click on over to merch.sayswhopodcast.com, which is our own little merchandise shop. Or you could go to shop.dansinker.com where I sell some patches. That's all. Patches. The internet.
I'm sorry, I'm typing.
Yeah, I can tell. You're now furiously. You're all, God damn it, get the fucking goddamn cover where it needs to fucking be, you goddamn pieces of shit.
What was that, Dan?
That's you right now. Oh. That's what you're doing. You're sending it to your people.
Oh, we're trying to get the cover up, Maureen.
Hey, just shut the fuck up. I'm on the goddamn internet right fucking now, and I don't see that shitting cover anywhere. Get off your fucking ass. Get that fucking goddamn piece of shit cover onto the goddamn internet.
I forgot about the voice.
Or I'll fucking get your ass fired.
I'm trying hard, Maureen. I'm trying to get the cover up. It's just
I don't want to hear trying in your fucking vocabulary anymore, you piece of goddamn shit.
Don't you make a patch called trying? I mean, there's one that says trying. You can buy it and just
need that cover now. Now.
Thank you for pre-ordering my book. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Maureen.
Are you ready to party?
I'm ready to party.
Let's go. Okay. One, two, three.
Happy Super Tuesday.
Look.
Ah.
He was twitching his mustache.
I was.
And the beard. But it was mostly a mustache.
Okay.
So it says to the podcast that is it up. He was going kind of going.
Okay.
You kind of do that kind of Kermit the Frog when he goes like.
Yeah.
Like kind of a squirt. He was that.
Okay.
To Says Who, the podcast, that's not a podcast.
Man, I feel like we started real low energy, and now
we're gonna bring it up.
We're bringing it up. It is a coping strategy. I am Dan Sinker.
I have told Oscar that he can grow a mustache as long as it's one of those pencil thin 1930s, like weaselly mustaches where everyone that looks that wears one looks like they should be wearing a wide lapelled pinstripe suit, yep. and they should suit. They should only just say like that.
I knew a guy.
Yeah.
That
good for you.
Really tried to convince would look fantastic with a little pencil mustache, and I went so far as to take photographs of him and Photoshop in pencil mustaches just to demonstrate just how debonair he would look, and he would have looked great. But it is a bit of a lifestyle choice, I think.
Oh yeah,
if you're adopting one of those, you're signing up for the whole club.
Oh yeah, 100%. He doesn't want one, by the way. I'm just like and because his hair is reddish, it's like a goldeny. He has like the hair. He's like his hair is like the color of a lion. Well, okay. So it'd be real kind of, it would just glimmer. Yeah. It was a little glimmer, like a little shining gold bar.
It'd be nice.
Fuck yeah. I'd grow one if I could. That would look amazing.
You'd look good with that.
I feel like that's my entire, I don't want it. It's not that vibe, not the hipster vibe. I just think that I could really like give that some energy.
I think you could. I think you could bring it.
Yeah.
That's the type of facial hair that requires you to meet it.
Yes.
You know?
You have to go to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't come to you. You go to it for sure. Yes.
You are 100% always, at least in spirit, smoking a cigarette through a long holder.
Speaking of smoking a cigarette, and I just noticed this because it just the glass blocks that are right outside my field of vision here just went all red and swirbly. That's because there's a man in my yard right now smoking a cigarette while replacing three fence posts because our year of things breaking continues to
congratulations. To go.
It was really beautiful this weekend and we were out in our yard and Janice was like, oh, that doesn't look right. And we had one fence post sort of leaning very heavily in, and then we walked around and kind of shoved each fence post and three of them were all warbly. And so I called the guy who put the fence in like a decade ago. And he was like, yesterday, just to be like, yeah, can we get on your agenda to come by? He was like, sure, I'm 15 minutes away. I'll be there next. I'm like, okay. So then he came in. He was like, yeah, that you need three fence posts. I'm like, that sounds great. When can you do that? And he was all, tomorrow.
Wow. So,
and now they're there. And I will say, and so we're recording a little bit late because they kind of took a very long time to show up. It was very unclear what tomorrow meant. And what tomorrow apparently meant was mid-afternoon. And we had misinterpreted that to be in the morning. So we've been in that kind of state of constantly waiting for people to show up at your house and then they don't show up. And so, but then they finally did, of course, right before we were supposed to record. So then I was like, because I had called them and they were like, well, we're 20 minutes away. So I wrote to you and I was like, let's do this at the top of the hour, because if they're 20 minutes away, they're probably going to be further than that. But then when did they show up, Maureen? 5 minutes after they told me they were 20 minutes away. And then they proceeded to, I loved it. I just sat in the dining room out of view of them being able to see me in the window, but I just watched them because, you know, there is almost nothing that I love more in life, Maureen, than watching people that are very good at what they do the thing that they are very good at.
Nice.
It was amazing.
So you watched
these broken fence posts up in seconds. They were digging new holes. It was amazing.
That's
still
great.
Out there, though. They're still banging around. And just smoking the whole time, like it was the 70s.
Man, that sounds great.
It was pretty great. It was very entertaining.
Well, on this end, Dan, I'm sure anyone who heard the Town Watch may be curious to join in on my trash watch. And that is that my bro neighbors,
who might
as well be called Chad and Chad.
Chad and Chad Incorporated.
Who listen to gym music and leap and just exist entirely on delivered McDonald's and Dunkin',
yep.
and leave their trash outside their door, even though the trash chute is like literally next to the elevator that you have. It's on the floor. I just want to convey, as I conveyed before, that it's literally on the floor between their door and the elevator. It is 10 steps away, and they instead left their garbage outside their door.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 days.
Yeah, it's reasonable.
6 days.
Yeah, sure.
Took a picture of it. I don't remember if I sent you the picture.
No, you did not send me the picture.
I'll send you the picture. You can see through the bag, the package in there marked dude wipes.
Yeah, oh, nice.
That I was excited about. Yeah, so I have a picture of that too.
Perfect.
So I'm really excited about having Chad and Chad next door. So that's great.
That's fun. I'm glad for you that you have that in your life.
Yeah.
You didn't have enough drama.
It's not even drama. It's also, I don't say anything because living in New York means that people are always judging you. That's the thing about living in an apartment situation is that you may not think you're being judged, but you are always being judged.
Oh, yeah.
People are constantly taking mental notes on you.
I believe it.
So sometimes you walk around in a fog of judgment.
The fog of judgment.
Yeah.
The Maureen Johnson story.
Yeah. So anyway, I am silently judging them for just constantly leaving trash outside and listening to Jim Unch. I'm like, guys, you know, like headphones exist. They're really common.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to loud shit constantly. I just put it through headphones, which are easily available. And they're just super simple. You stick them in your ears, you guys. It's great. I listen to the TV through them. It's not a big deal. But I'm like, I'm not even going to complain about Unch. Just put your goddamn trash in the trash chute.
Yeah.
A day. I'll give you a day.
Hold on. Where are you hearing them, Unch?
Through the wall.
Oh, well, they don't have to put headphones on. They're in the privacy of their own home.
They listen to it really loud.
I mean, they live in a society and perhaps they should turn it down, but they shouldn't have to wear headphones in their own home.
Oh, no. I just mean like turn it down a little bit because like if you are, say, in our bathroom trying to take a bath, that place is like a bad club.
Dude, that's great though.
It's real loud.
That's fun. You get a little jock jams.
Unch.
While you're bathing.
Truly, it is like getting jock jams all the time.
I love it.
So... I just mean like either turn it down, but I don't even care about that. I'm only complaining to you guys. I don't narc.
Slip a list of approved songs underneath their door.
Dear Chad,
you're going to be Chad's. If you're going to be listening to music this loud, here's a list of songs that I wouldn't mind bathing to.
There was one that wasn't bad the other day, but mostly it's like music I didn't know people actually listen to outside of like really cheap exercise videos.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a thing that people did by choice.
I think I have mentioned before one of my apartments lived in a garden level apartment and the person above me would have fights quite regularly with her boyfriend who then would storm out. He would. And then she would blast Riders of the Storm on loop for hours.
The Doors song?
At top volume, the Doors song. And she had a subwoofer directly above my bedroom.
Nice.
So I would hear the bass line for Riders of the Storm for hours and hours and hours on a very regular basis.
I had a friend who he was like the ultimate college prankster, this guy. He just was really good at it, and he was kind of a piece of work, and he once got in a fight with a roommate and a bunch of people on his floor. And so what he did was there were drop ceiling tiles, so he pushed one out of the way and put a speaker up there, slid it back, put on ABC by the Jacksons on repeat, and left for the weekend. Left it on full blast.
That's pretty great.
So that it spread all through the empty space so you couldn't determine where it was coming from. It was just like omnipresent. And then he went away and no one could stop it or figure out where it was coming from.
That's incredible.
I bet they had a pretty good guess, but because they couldn't place it,
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. When the teen was here for winter break, his whole body did this sort of like release from stress where he just wanted to sleep constantly.
Yeah. And he said COVID.
Well, this was pre-COVID.
Oh, this is pre-COVID. Okay.
Yeah. This was winter break, spring break. He's coming back on Friday. I'm very excited. Anyway, so we took to pulling up an air horn sound on YouTube coming down and air horning him awake after a certain amount of time. And then he just began to ignore that. And so then I took a Bluetooth speaker and put it just out of reach of his bed, and then came upstairs and continued to blow the air horn and forced him out.
Ah, Dan, that's all great. So Dan, it is Super Tuesday, Dan.
It is super. You're already jumping to Super Tuesday, Maureen.
Well, that's because I'm so excited. But Dan, actually, no.
Yeah.
I want to talk about. We have another reason to be super excited.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready.
COVID's over, Dan.
It's COVID's over.
Yeah, music. Yeah, play some. Yeah, I'm dancing now. Play some music. Yeah. COVID's over. How do we know, Dan?
How do we know?
Because the CDC has now said that if you test positive, you do not have to isolate.
Phew.
This even includes President Biden. They will now no longer test people that come into contact with him.
I feel like that's on purpose.
So any unwashed drifter can like go in, coughing up a lung. Hello, Mr. President. Do you want to see my kerchief? It's great. It's done.
It's done. I do think that we're not going to bother testing anyone around Biden is their way of being like, well, we're a little ambivalent about whether this dude should be running for re-election. So
we're just going to
cast the dice here.
Let's just see what fate has in store for us all.
Let's just see. Let's just let things get real loose and see what happens.
Wow. Far out. I mean, I am glad that you guys, I'm very pleased to tell you that privately I've gotten Dan to agree to the Disney. We've agreed on a plan for Election Day.
Yes.
Disneyland, not world.
California.
We some has said Suvians reached out and was like, hey, fuck Florida. And we, you know, then we're like, yeah, you know, we're. Although some of you are in Florida.
It's true.
You're like, But we're here. So like, but we're, it's the right thing to do. And also you can see your large son.
We will definitely be extending our stay to see our large son.
Yeah. Like, and so it's a chance. Exciting. And I will also be able to say hello to a friend or two. So like it kind of, you know, but we'll be together, Dan. I was looking up hotel rooms. I was like, look at this one, Dan. Look, we could stay here.
Do you see this?
Your hat?
No.
Oh, you have a spot on your head?
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I think I'm growing a unicorn horn, Maureen.
Did you hit yourself on the head, Dan?
No, I think it's like a little zitty guy who's decided to just come and enjoy himself directly middle of my forehead.
That's great.
It's great. That's actually the main reason why I've been wearing a hat today. And then I just scratched my head and felt how much it hurts. And it really does. At the right angle. Look at that.
It's not that bad.
It's majestic.
You really.
There is a documentary series that I really like a lot that is the actor Ewan McGregor and a friend of his riding motorcycles around the world. The very first one, which is now quite old, they are in, like very, very rural, like in the middle of nowhere, Russia, like Siberia. And Ewan McGregor gets bit by something pretty much right in the same spot. And it just continues, swells and swells and swells and swells until his whole upper head is like completely disfigured. And at one point he just looks into the camera and goes, I look like Manimal. Which those of you that didn't grow up in the 80s might not remember, but there was a short-lived
television show
called Manimal.
It was famous. It was famous for being short, like hilariously short-lived.
Yeah. Where he could turn into animals, but the morphing technology of today did not exist. And so instead, they would just sort of fade between his face changing across a couple of different masks that he would wear, one of which was this very thick-browed thing. And every time I end up in a situation like this, I just think to myself, I look like Manimal.
When I seem to remember, there was a, I like old Saturday Night Live skits, and they made a kind of clip about that show, because I think the head of NBC really liked it and was really trying to make it happen. Was that Brandon Tarnikoff, I believe was his name?
Yeah.
And so they actually got him to be in this film sketch where he Xeroxed, because this was like really a long time ago, so he copied all of these flyers, and then they just showed him going down the street leaving flyers about Manimal on people's car windshields, and was like just stopping people in the street going, hey, you ever watch Manimal? It's actually a very funny sketch about how much this show sucks, and how much this guy really wanted it to be good.
Manimal,
yeah. There's also just not, I don't know, it's making me think of funny things, Dan, but I think the first movie Ewan McGregor was ever in, I believe, was called Shallow Grave.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very funny movie about some roommates that find like a bunch of money in the floor of their apartment, and then how they go basically insane with this treasure that they found.
Yeah.
And at one point, Ewan McGregor is forced into the woods, and they make him, like whoever the baddies are, they make him dig his own grave.
Yeah.
And he just starts crying, and he's just crying and crying and digging his grave. And it's one of the funniest scenes I have ever seen in my life, because it's exactly what you would really do in a very real way. He did the best crying while digging his own grave scene I've ever seen. And I was like, I'm a fan for life.
He seems like a nice guy.
He's a funny actor. He should be in more comedies. He's funny.
Anyway, Maureen Johnson.
Tell me everything.
It is, in fact,
Super Tuesday.
While we are recording, people are voting. We discussed last week, should we wait to record after Super Tuesday happens? And then we realized, why the fuck would we do that?
Why would we do that?
Voting is happening in Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, and Virginia. There's also a vote being held by Democrats in Utah and a caucus in American Samoa. Republicans are also holding caucuses in Alaska and Utah. It's like a full third of the electoral votes that need to happen are happening today.
What's going to happen?
Gee, I wonder. It is very funny to me that every news site that I frequent is posing like, well, we'll find out a lot today. And it's like, are you being run by goldfishes or something? Like, do you not remember everything else that has happened? We find out nothing today because we already know what the fuck is happening here. We're not deciding anything here.
What's going to happen, Dan? I don't know.
Everyone's at the edge of their seat.
Yeah.
Literally the only thing that seems to be up in the air is whether Nikki Haley will drop out tonight or if she will wait to drop out till tomorrow.
What do you think?
It doesn't matter. That's what I think. I think it doesn't fucking matter. Doesn't matter what Nikki Haley does. That's how I feel about it.
Huh. You're jazzed. We're really going for it this year, huh?
We're just doing it.
You know, Dan, when we think back now, because as we've discussed, this is our third Trump election we're covering. This is our eighth year of dealing with this shit.
Yep.
You know, 2016, we were such rubes, such, you know.
Little sweet summer children.
And then in 2020, we were actively on fire.
Yeah.
You know, a pandemic.
Yeah.
We had 4 years of Trump.
Yep. Racial uprisings.
And, oh, yeah. Like a battle for the soul of America in many ways.
Yeah.
A worldwide global health issue that sort of brought us all together. And here we are in 2024. And it's so flaccid.
There's a...
I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, now you saying flaccid, there's a really excellent show on Hulu that just got canceled, unfortunately, in its second season called This Fool. Incredibly funny, really, really well-made show about this dude in L.A. Anyway, his cousin, Luis, works at, in the second season, is working at like a cheap men's clothing store, and the own and somebody keeps drawing dicks, like graffitiing dicks on the window, and he has to clean it off. And the owner is always complaining about the flaccid dicks. He's saying flaccid, and now I can't see or hear the word flaccid and not think flaccid. Anyway, hey. Continue on.
Hey, I heard something.
Oh no!
Did someone say flaccid in conjunction with my man?
Were we? Was it in? Was it in connection?
It better not have been.
Oh.
It better not have been.
Oh no!
Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
Are you ready to hear something?
I mean, the way you're setting it up now, I think the answer is no.
My man.
Uh huh.
Is like. Imagine a flagpole on top of a flagpole inside of a column, a Grecian column on the goddamn moon. One big ball. Imagine two moons and then a Grecian column.
What on earth is going on?
I don't really 100% know. I have been drinking a little bit.
Okay, that explains
it. It's Super Tuesday, so I'm having a little something for mama.
Yeah. What does a shoe drink?
Sweat. I love it.
Gross.
Yummy, yummy in my tummy. Pour it in me. Mm. Also, champagne on occasion. Do you ever see those old movies where people drink champagne from a shoe? I'm like, why are you so gross? What are you doing? What do you do in the past?
Is that a thing in movies?
It was like champagne from drinking champagne from a slipper, yes.
Like, but isn't it not like they're taking it off their foot. Isn't it like,
where else is it going to come
from? Isn't it like a glass slipper to drink from?
No, it's like they drink it. No, I think they just drink it from their high heel shoe. Shoes are gross.
I think it is a convention that has been created.
I mean, you shouldn't do it. It's gross. Can you imagine anything? Oh, I'm going to drink champagne from my shoe.
But why? Why would you?
Well, maybe that. If you're me, you can drink champagne from one. You can't, but my man can. Anytime, baby, take a sip of this shoe. And then we'll slip on a shoe. You know, slip it on, baby. Let's go.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, they do it, don't they?
I just made a real mistake here.
Bet you did. Never Google shoes.
Which is saying drink champagne from a shoe. That was my thing. But the... dumb little autocomplete is not talking about champagne, but instead talking about shoey, Australian slang. Of course, it's Australian for having a celebratory drink out of a shoe. Usually the beverage is alcoholic and the celebration follows a sweaty quest to victory.
So, that does somehow sound Australian.
Ugh.
And I don't know why.
Shoey has become a popular part of some sports.
Sure.
And music festival cultures. That's horrible.
Oh. I mean.
Oh, now I've made the mistake of going to the drinking from shoes Wikipedia entry. The main photograph is a guy drinking out of a Vans. Like just out of a gym shoe.
Mm. That's right.
Oh.
You think I make this up?
I'm so grossed out right now.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Drink it. It is also Canadian. That's Canadian? That doesn't seem Canadian. All right. Well, Dan, we have reason to drink.
I'm disgusted right now.
You know, we have a wonderful decision from the Supreme Court.
Yeah. So
unanimously.
Super Tuesday made all the more super this year by the unanimous decision that Trump can stay on the ballot in Colorado, which voted today. So they made this decision yesterday. Oh, what they would have done if they decided against it. Go figure. Anyway, he can stay on the ballot in Colorado and in other states that booted him off because he led an insurrection.
Okay.
Everyone on the court agreed that individual states could not bar candidates for the presidency under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. That's the one that prohibits insurrectionists from holding office. But 5 of the 9, and I'll let you guess which 5, they went a lot further, saying that, quote, the Constitution makes Congress, rather than the states, responsible for enforcing Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates, which, one, wasn't a question that was up for grabs here, and two, the short bit of reading that I've done says they just invented that out of whole cloth.
Why not?
You know.
Why not?
Either way, he's on the ballot. Not that surprising to me. I was not expecting this to stand.
No, it didn't seem like anybody was really surprised about that.
No. But the Supreme Court also last week agreed to hear Trump's immunity claim in the January 6th election interference case is now scheduled for late April for them to hear arguments around this, which means that their decision on it won't come until the summer, which means that this trial is absolutely delayed until maybe a month or two before the election. Though I would not place particularly smart money on that happening then either.
Right.
It does seem preposterous to imagine that they would do anything but decide that a president is not immune to prosecution if they are criming. Since they've already done that a couple of times now with this particular president.
Right.
But I do feel like the fix is still in. Thanks to the fact that the real goal by the Trump team on all of this and in any of their court stuff is just to delay these trials.
Right.
And it is full mission accomplished on that one. Whether they decide against him or not, this thing is either going to run right up against the election, at which point they'll probably just argue that it should wait, or it will end up being bumped before they have to make that argument till after the election. And it's a federal one, so if he wins, he can just stop prosecuting it.
So if January 6th gets bumped, we have New York in end of March.
Yeah.
Georgia is a question mark.
Yep.
And Florida is
still in a delay process.
With a projected end date of
maybe this summer, maybe the fall, maybe, who knows.
What month has the possibility for getting the most weird, Dan?
Oh, I think the closer you get to November, the weirder it's going to get.
But I just mean like pure, I feel like there's a heavy, let's see, everyone in April, next year's in November. September?
I think September, October is going to be full batshit.
Right. And the text and the emails are getting thirstier. You know, there was one text I got the other day that started off with, please, 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 please send me $35.
That was from me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Somehow, thought if I said please enough, you'd do it.
It was so thirsty. And I got one from Nikki Haley. How the hell did Nikki Haley get my phone number? But somehow I got a Nikki Haley one.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's going to be relentless.
What did she want?
Probably $35.
She just wanted some spoilers on your next book.
Sometimes they want $2. Sometimes they want $28. Like, yeah. They just all want some weird. All these weirdos come to you for random plays. Give me $5.
Yeah. I during 2012, Jesus, during 2012, I was friends with a lot of people on the Obama digital team. And the like science of what weird number to ask people for was fascinating, because it's all, at least back then when they were kind of developing it, it was all very well thought through. Now I would guess most people are just sort of imitating, but the like, well, people are more likely to give if you're asking for an odd number under the number five, you know, like they had this whole big long theory about how it all worked, and they were very effective at it. But now it's just bananas. Now I feel like we are past the point of anyone listening anymore.
It's going to be, I just remembered that during, was it last election or the one before, I was doing phone banking for a local election. It was for a Bucks County, Pennsylvania election, but I was phone banking from New York.
Yeah.
And I went to a local house, was hosting a phone bank. And It was Vincent D'Onofrio's house.
Right. I remember you telling me that.
So I was hanging out at Vincent D'Onofrio's house, phone banking.
Wild. The very last thing the team did before the COVID shutdowns was go to an Elizabeth Warren office and phone bank for Elizabeth Warren.
Well, Dan, who will we be phone banking for this year? Oh, no. He just drooped, you guys, like a flower that needed water. He just sank.
It's very...
I feel like we're still in the waiting room, you know, really much. Like, we hear noises behind a door, and we know we're going through that door at some point. We hear, like... Yeah. And we're like, we're going in there. We're still in those chairs. We're just kind of shifting around. We're watching TV in the waiting room. We're tapping. We're charging our phone.
But it feels like the waiting room that we're waiting for is like on the other side is like Jigsaw from the Saw series.
You see, I just kind of imagine it like Wile E. Coyote. Like we open that door and it's just like nothing. And we just stand there for a moment and look out a camera before we drop down.
That's true. That is true.
Well, that's good.
Is it?
We have at least one criminal trial coming up.
We do soon. This month.
Live coverage from New York City, baby.
That's you. You're on
live,
that.
Live from New York. It's Maureen at the Trump trial.
That'd be fun. You could go. You could do that. Get in line one morning.
And just be there?
You could just be there. They're open to the public.
Can you imagine that's going to be. That's
you just
got to
get
crazy.
There early.
I don't want to do that.
Well, then don't.
But I kind of do.
But don't.
But don't. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah, so don't do that.
But can you imagine?
I could imagine.
Just sitting there, giving you guys inside the courtroom reports?
I think you can text from in courtrooms in New York. I'm not sure.
That'd be wild. I think you can, because I think there has been like text coverage that you can read as it goes. How long do you think the trial is going to go?
A few weeks, for sure.
Well, then, he's going to be here. I forget what day it starts on. It's 20 something. It's about 2 weeks from now, something like that. It's all going to get some popcorn. And what do you think is going to happen? What if he's found guilty, Dan, in New York?
I mean, I think he will almost certainly be found guilty. It's just a question of whether some of the things that could require jail time will be held to jail time.
Right.
I mean, this one, the New York, this is the like Stormy Daniels hush money thing, which is a fairly straightforward piece of corporate malfeasance and a much harder way of showing this is criminality.
Right.
Like, that's always been the thing that people have held up, which is like, oh, Bragg is sort of twisting a few laws here and there to interpret it in a way that this is essentially the argument is by covering this up, this was an illegal campaign contribution to the Trump campaign in the last weeks of his campaign, right? That it was undisclosed money being paid off, but really the intention there was to kind of keep it out of the headlines, which thusly made it a campaign contribution. And, you know, so it, that part feels hard. Like all of the exhibits and things like that of checks that, you know, like that stuff seems easy. The you did some shady business. You didn't classify this stuff in some way or another, but all of that stuff is misdemeanor style things.
Right.
You know, so I think that the chances that he is found guilty of misdemeanors are very high. I think the possibility that he is found guilty of criminal action is harder, because that's always been the harder part of this case to begin with.
So that's the only one that we know for sure is going to happen. But do you think there'll be one more before the election? Maybe.
I mean, at this point, I think maybe if the Mar-a-Lago documents one kind of starts to move along again, it's been sort of mired in Trump team's attempts to slow it down and the judge's, you know, pretty okayness with slowing it down. That one feels like they could theoretically get it moving. I don't think January 6th is going to happen before the election. I don't think that there's a single person anywhere that has the stomach to start that trial in like September.
And Georgia happens no matter what, even if he's president.
Right. Georgia can happen any time, but it also, that thing's become mired in an affair that Fannie Willis was maybe having, but why that would matter is sort of unknown. But that judge seems to be very willing to just kind of let a lot of shit play out before ever getting anything down on a calendar.
Well, it all seems great, Dan.
Remember when he was indicted four times and it was like, well, he's not wiggling out of this one.
Dan, it's almost like a known trash bag from New York City that has always operated in criminality with a bunch of mobsters, mm-hmm. didn't pay people. It was mm-hmm. just kind of like our gross local weirdo decided mm-hmm. on a weird whim to mm-hmm. run for president. And then like the wind under his scrappy oil-covered, you know, wings, The media was like, let's puff this guy up and make this thing viable. Right. And then suddenly it became viable on fart juice and and ill will energy and just bad vibes. And yep. then it became a movement, a major populist movement based on a bunch of bullshit. And then this guy who was skirted out of crimes his whole goddamn life, rode that train all the way to the station, crimed a whole bunch more. Just ripped apart the system. Then we had an insurrection, and now he's been sucking his thumb and having a tantrum for 4 years. He's now, they finally were like, well, finally, we'll just arrest him a couple times. And they arrested him a couple times. And now he's coming back powered by even more fart juice and bad vibes. And he's really got to fight it. And now everything's just kind of going like, now we're just riding we're riding a slide into a pool full of poop, Dan. Just going through, we are all at, you know, Action Park with that slide with the loop-de-loop where you hit the top and then it's full of teeth from all the people hitting it. That's us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well said.
So let's address the real question of the week. Where is Kate Middleton?
See, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, it's a weird distraction.
So what's the deal? She's missing?
All right. First of all, it's a dumb distraction.
Okay.
Just the whole basics of this is, Dan, that she was last seen in December. Then she kind of vanished from the public eye. And then they released a statement. The palace was like, she's having planned abdominal. She had planned abdominal surgery yesterday.
Okay.
She will be recovering for months. And this happened at the same time that Prince Charles announced that he had cancer.
Right. And Kate she's Middleton, not- this is... apologies to everyone that knows better than me. She is married to the guy that will be king.
Yeah, she is the princess. Okay. She is Catherine, Princess of Wales.
Got it.
He will, William will be king.
Right.
She will be queen.
Yeah.
She is missing. People have been speculating. But also, the media is like, we must be very respectful and give her distance, which, funny, wasn't something that they gave to Meghan
right.
Markle. They just ripped her to shreds for every single thing she did. She's just, strangely enough, there's a difference about Meghan. I can't remember what it is. It is hard to, but for some reason I'm just brought up because it's a dumb distraction. And a joke about what people are actually paying attention to. And I get it. Like, it is kind of weirdly fascinating during these dark, dark times, but also just a real illustration of like how the press was very, very different. And it's also now that been known that the palace was absolutely in collusion with the press because they had to release all of these legal documents because of a case Harry brought against the media. So they found out that the Buckingham Palace press office was directly in collusion with the media. Basically, the palace was like, we'll make you a deal. You can fuck up Harry and Meghan as much as you want as long as you leave like the major ones alone.
Wow.
Yeah, they did a deal.
Well, this has been Royals Watch with Maureen Johnson.
Well, everyone's like, well, where is she? And there's been weird speculation. The funniest of which is that she's having a Brazilian butt lift.
Okay.
But she could be like, she's having some sort of medical issue. And yes, in truth, she should be left alone like everybody should.
Right.
But you know what? They should have done that with Meghan, and they instead were total shitbags. And the whole system is weird and fucked.
Well, there's that for sure.
So, you know, there's that. And Dan, this brings us to our mindfulness moment.
Oh, okay.
Dan, waiting is hard. This year, it feels like we've been doing a lot of waiting. You know, and it's gone pretty well so far. How's your year been?
It's been surprisingly above average.
And what does that mean for you, Dan?
It means that I am working on great things that are all coming together well.
And what does that mean for the next couple months?
It means that I'll be very busy.
And also, what does it mean?
I don't know.
Huh. That's very interesting. You see, in my way of interpreting that, I'm like, things have been going well. So obviously a piano will fall on me in the next coming months. Whereas you're very positive. You're like, I'm going to be very busy and it's all going to go really nicely. Whereas I'm like, things went well for me. Therefore, I must be punished.
Nah,
that's the mentality. You see that? That's the like, I was all right. So I guess take a finger. That's sort of how I see things, Dan. I had a nice time. Now you can take one of my fingers. It's like I owe it to you to take my finger.
Okay.
But it's not owed. You can just have a nice time and we can sit with this moment of anticipation in the waiting room. And it's not, we're not in a waiting room. We're in a beautiful garden outside. The sky is clear above us. It is sunny and pleasantly warm, but not too hot. I would say about 65, 67 degrees with a nice soft breeze. And it's not too, it's kind of like that, like kind of misty, like diffused light. It's nice. Super nice how we're in a garden. It's all open. We're in a beautiful open space and we're eagerly anticipating what's coming next. We're eagerly anticipating because we're building beautiful things. Like you and I said, we're going to go to Disneyland. And therefore, we know we have a nice thing waiting for us. So even no matter what happens on that night, you and me are going to have a goddamn Dole Whip in our hands.
It's true.
And we're going to be together. And God damn it, Dan, we are going to ride the Haunted Mansion together finally.
Sounds great.
Does that mean Says Who will end? God damn it, no, we are still continuing because this shit never stops. It's a forever thing now. Because we're not at the end of things, Dan. We're at the beginning.
I like that we're, now the bar is... It will end when we are at the end of things.
This has been your week's mindfulness moment.
Well, on that
I hope everyone has had a good time with their Super Tuesday celebrations. We we slouch toward Bethlehem, as they say, and so we're getting there.
Says Who is made possible by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says.
And it's because of that, because of that Patreon, that's how we're going. That's it.
True.
This has been many years that we've been just waiting. We haven't done anything with it, but we're going to do this one thing.
It's true. It's true. Through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. That's also where, if you give it the $5 or $10 a month level, you can get this all over again on a Sunday, doing a little thing that we call the Town Watch. That $10 a month level also gets you a sticker in the mail because you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. Our theme music was performed by Ted Leo. Our logo was designed by Darth. You can contact us at Says Who Podcast on Threads. You can also find us at Says Who at omfg.town on Mastodon. You can email it. Hey, that's H-E-Y at sayswhopodcast.com. You can join the discussion on Facebook at /group/SaysWhovians. Our Facebook group is moderated by Janice Dillard. There's also a fan-run Discord server at tinyurl.com/SaysWhoDiscord. Whatever you do, though, spread the word, subscribe, and leave stars and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever it is that you listen. And you can join us next Wednesday. That is the 10th of March.
Wow. Far out.
Yeah, for our very next episode. And from my basement in Chicago, I am Dan Sinker.
And from New York City, baby, best city in the world, where the trash goes out and the trash comes in when Trump comes to town. And now the trash goes in bins outside in the street. We invented the trash can, everybody. Number one city, number one foam finger. I am Maureen Johnson.
And this has been Says Who.
I know, I go just mostly at the end.
Get haunted.
Mm.
Okay.